breakfast on Thursday at the depot this week. So, and secondly, if you haven't signed up for the marriage thing, don't be afraid. It doesn't mean that your marriage is shot. It just means that you want to build it up. And if you don't want to build your marriage up, then you might have to think about that one. And it's going to be a fun time. It's not going to be a pressure-packed thing. And thank you, Jen, for a little prayer for the word that I'm going to give to you guys today that the Lord's put on my heart. Some of you may have heard of the Stanley Covenant. It was written by a guy named William Hans Schumann. And I'm going to greatly paraphrase it, but it kind of sets the tone for the message. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, two missionary and explorers by the name of Stanley and Livingston were in Africa. At that time, there were lots of hostilities between the leadership in the different countries with the kings and the chiefs and the missionaries. They did not want them there. When Stanley was in Africa, he faced many strange customs, and with one particular king, judgment, division, and a good possibility of death if he did not leave the country immediately. Stanley had a guide and an advisor, and he recommended that he make a blood covenant with his king, who was one of the most powerful kings in all of Africa. So they got together, they managed to get together, a missionary and a king of Africa. They agreed on a covenant, which involved an incision being made in each man's wrists, with the blood being put into a cup mixed with wine or goat's milk, of which they would both drink of. They then clasped hands to mingle the blood, which symbolized two men being one blood, one life, and one new man. So there was another requirement, and that was that our gifts had to be exchanged, and the king wanted Stanley's very valuable milk-producing goat, which he gave up reluctantly, while the king gave him a spear. So he didn't think that was Stanley wasn't really impressed with that particular trade-off, because that goat provided cheese and milk for him and the rest of the missionaries. And what was the spear? It was just a spear. But the spear had a large copper coil near the head, which was recognized as a symbol of authority, where whole tribes throughout all of Africa would bow a knee to it. So this wasn't just a regular spear. If they harmed Stanley and those who were with them, they were doomed. So anyone who touched Stanley were doomed as long as he carried that spear with him. So he was protected throughout the whole continent, not just that one particular country, but the whole continent. As long as he carried that spear. He couldn't put it down, he had to carry it. The blood covenant was never broken between Stanley and the king, because if it was, he was a condemned man, and the king would go after him and his family. They would be hunted down, and they would be killed. So this is kind of similar to what happened in the Garden of Eden, is it was a hostility. It didn't start out that way, but because of sin, there was a hostility between God and man, with the result being division, judgment, and eternal death. So God established a blood covenant that would end the enmity and instead would bring eternal reconciliation between him and mankind. Reconciliation is a key here. And we started out as enemies of God, but through his blood covenant with Jesus, we became eternally committed friends of his. This message was originally, when I first started working on this, it was originally about that covenant between Stanley and the king. And it kind of led into Communion Sunday, which is today. But things got complicated when I began praying about this subject and researching, because the word covenant is mentioned 300 times in the Bible. I won't get to all 300, but it means that it's an important thing from the beginning to the end until now. And you know, a lot of the different like symbols or synonyms for covenant would include a compact, an alliance, a pledge, a promise, a treaty, an agreement, a constitution, ordinance, oath, sacrifice, salute, even sealed by a handshake. I can remember living on Chickawalope Road in the springtime, we always had people who got stuck at Chickawalope sometimes at night. You know, young couples or whatever, or sometimes just people driving up there and going off the road. And so for friends and family, I would usually just go and pull them out with my tractor. But sometimes I charge like people I didn't know, and maybe it was an inconvenient time. I've got to go to my place, get the tractor, take a $30,000 tractor up the road, and they hired a tow truck, and it cost them $100, $200, and I charged them $25 or $30 just for fuel or whatever. And I had a number of people who didn't have money who shook my hand and told me they would pay me, and I never got paid. That's not a big deal, but to me it's a big deal if you shake hands with somebody, and that's a commitment. That's kind of an old school thing with us guys, I guess, the handshake being something. So anyway, there's a lot of different things that go along with covenant, but I guess you could kind of liken a covenant, with the initial commitment and submission that we made to the Lord. You know, our first time of committing to the Lord, on our knees praying and accepting Him into our life. But we're called to give up something. We're called to give up our old mindset, our old ways, our worldly things that we deal with, like a milking goat, and focus entirely on Him. From a biblical point of view, and according to my studies of the Word, and particularly in the Old Testament, a covenant has to do with conditional promises made to humanity by God. Ones made to the ancient Israelites, in which God promised to protect them. And that's from Exodus 4, 6 and 8. If they bowed and obeyed Him. So there was a little agreement there. And that's in Deuteronomy. If you want to look that up, it's Deuteronomy 1, 11 to 32. So God promised to protect them if they obeyed and loved Him. So there's a deal there. In Hebrews 9, 15, it says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called to receive the promise, eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. It's a solemn, serious, binding agreement and arrangement with responsibilities, benefits, and penalties, one that has self-committed promises made to God. Now, communion is kind of another thing, but it fits nicely with a covenant, as it's an act or an instance of sharing on an intimate level our thoughts, our feelings, our connections with Christ. It's through consuming wine and bread as a memorial of Christ's death and certainly of His return. It's not just about the death. It's the certainty of His return and the realization that unique, special spiritual union exists between us and Christ. Here at the Word of God, we generally celebrate it on the first Sunday of the month. In some cases, it can be a formality. In some cases, it can be a ritual. It's something we do. But it's an important and a solemn time, but also with some joy. You know, I've always felt like communion, it's a solemn time, but sometimes I just like to celebrate it. You know, everyone, I can remember an old church we went to, everything was so formal. You know, you had to make sure you went in the right direction. You had to, you know, do the right things. And then when you're done, you had to make sure you went back in the opposite direction. And it was kind of like stressful. And I don't think communion is supposed to be stressful. It should be joyful. And someday, we haven't talked about it yet, but someday we're going to have a whole service just based on communion. Like we're going to have a table set up. With that, we're going to have communion for an hour and a half together. I mean, we do that anyway. Right now, we're having communion. But sometimes we can get caught up in the ritualistic part of it. We should be communing with Him always, not just one Sunday a month, but always. Yes. And it should be done with wholehearted obedience and passion, not just a Oh, well, maybe we go again Sunday, make sure we've got it ready for Sunday. It's kind of a spiritual, internal thing that we need to have 24/7. 1 John 5:7 says, God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus. His son purifies, which means removes, clears from us from all sin. Also, 1 Corinthians 11, 26 and 27. And I'm going to kind of preface this with when the disciples were having communion, not with Jesus, but after, they had some issues in the church. They had some division. They had some people that had some hearts that weren't right. And so Paul was kind of admonishing them. He was kind of pushing them. And he said, whenever you eat of the bread and drink the cup, you're not just doing it as a formality. You proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Do not eat the bread and drink the wine in an unworthy manner. You will be guilty of sin versus the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourself first. And we've usually said that. Examine yourself first. And if you feel it's right and you're ready to do it, you take communion, you can. That's between you and God. That's not between any of us and you. It's between you and God. As I said before, it's a good time for deep soul searching, silent confession, and a repentant heart. At that point in time, as I had mentioned, the people in the Corinthian church were having some division. And it was within their ranks. There were people that weren't getting along in their body, just like here. You know, we could have people who have some issues in here, people who aren't getting along. They needed to be on the same page. So Paul challenged them to examine their hearts, to be honest before God and man. Otherwise, it was just a formality and a ritual with no meaning. So with that being said, if we could have the ushers come up and do the communion. I know they know who they are. So we're going to distribute the elements, and I'm going to read from Matthew, and then we'll pray and partake of the bread. I think we're on our last batch of the old communion cups. We've got new ones that work a little better. But again, if you need help, that's what we're here for, right? If you need help, help somebody next to you. You can't get the thing open. I have to have a window to do that for me. Thank you. 26 to 28. While eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, broke it into pieces, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you."